Good evening. Boa tarde. You're listening to Faith Ignited. I am your host, Nancy Burns, and you're listening to Pama Talk Radio. Thank you so much for being here. If this is the first time you've joined the Faith Ignited family, thank you. It's very nice to meet you. Thank you for coming. I wasn't sure whether I was going to do a podcast or not this evening because of it being Good Friday. And as you guys know, it's a very somber day for Christians all over the world. I don't care who you are, but today at, 3 o'clock, I think they say it's 3 o'clock, we think about the moment that Jesus took his last breath. So Good Friday for me has always been a somber sort of day where I try to fast as best as I can today. I know God will give me the strength to fast and offer it up to all those who are suffering in this world, all of those who need our prayers. As we suffer in this world, we offer it up to the next person who needs it. So welcome to my Good Friday episode on Pama Talk Radio. One of the first of its kind for our Portuguese community. Such an amazing group of people that we have, such talented podcast hosts with awesome ideas and awesome plans for their shows. I love listening to the New Friends podcast. If you've not heard the new episode with Vanessa from Portuguese Problems, go check that out. Give it a listen on all of our social media platforms. You can find it. New Friends podcast. So, I'd like to congratulate all of us, and we do this for the love of what we do. We do this because we love to do this. We don't do this to get paid or get compensated. We do this because we're a family, and I once made a promise to Nelson Lake, who's the owner of Pama Media, and I told him I want to see this media company soar to the most beautiful height that I could ever imagine. Just finally spread your wings and soar. And I want to help be a part of that. I would always tell him that. And so, for the time that I wasn't with Pama, I missed being here. I missed being part of a family. I missed being part of a crew of people that we love, absolutely love what we do. So today's story is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to talk about the movie and also what happens today if you went to church or if you didn't go to church today at Good Friday services. Like I said, very somber day. So my story is a story that I found an author from BHLPmedia.com is where I got this article, and I thought he had a really awesome take on the Passion of Christ today and how it sort of relates and it'll always be relevant in our lives. This day that changed the world forever will always be embedded in our minds and our hearts. And we are so blessed to be here, so thankful for all of the things that God has done for us, for the community, for us, for our people, for the people who aren't our people, for everybody. We wish them well. We wish them grace and goodness. And we wish them well. I don't think there's one single person that I surround myself with that I don't want there. And I, for sure, very much know who my circle of people are, who my friends are, who my family is, how much I miss my family. Chelsea would always sing at church on this day, and it was called, Were You There, I believe. Were You There? So the story I'm going to read tonight is how the Passion of Christ, how it relates to current day tradition and current day relevance. And then if we have time, I'm going to read a few of the traditions that happen in Portugal during Easter. So that should be fun to read that after we read what this gentleman has to say, which I really think is going to be something you guys are going to like to hear about. And I want to share that with you guys. So let me get to the story. You are listening to Palma Talk. This is Faith Ignited. Before I get to the story, let's go ahead and light our candle for tonight. All right, guys, and again, this story is from BHLPmedia.com. This author of this story writes, "Dear friends, I welcome you all here on this Good Friday. This week that we just had is called Holy because in it we shall be reenacting the greatest event of history since the creation of the world, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have just read the Passion narrative according to Mark. Let us now put ourselves into the characters of this story and watch how it relates to us today. And that's why I thought this story would be perfect for tonight, because he's talking about the greatest event that ever took place in the world, how this can be relevant to us today. So if you see any kind of validation that you are getting from either a feeling or seeing something, hearing something, you're meant to be here listening. And I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. I know some people don't like, you know, a lot of people who talk a lot about God and spirituality. Sometimes people get intimidated by that, and that's okay. But as long as I have this platform, as long as I have this place to call home here at Palma, I am going to continue doing what I've been doing. He continues to write, "The Passion is a story of betrayal. Our people say that it is the rat inside the house that goes to inform the other rats outside the house that there is food in the house. The enemy outside cannot succeed without the cooperation of the enemy inside. This boils down to the person of Judas. Nevertheless, let us look inwards. Haven't I betrayed my close friends in the past? Dear friends, if it happened to Jesus, it can happen to you. Those you consider as your best friends and trusted allies today can turn their backs on you at any given moment. Trust only in God. Number two, he has them listed in numbers. So number two, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6-10. What was Judas's motivation for selling Jesus? Money. The greatest commandment is to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. When our love for money becomes greater than our love for God and neighbor, we become somewhat like Judas. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." End quote. All of your efforts, all of your efforts to grab, accumulate, and possess things becomes useless if we lose our soul in the process. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, an amount that he never even got to spend. Gosh, that was a good one. All right. Number three, he says, in correlation with the passion, is that the passion is the story of giving. The woman who anointed Jesus with her expensive ointment treatment teaches us that the need to give God our very best, and I'm using my talents for the glory of God. Am I using my talents for the glory of God? Or am I like Cain, who offered that which is only good? Is it only good for him? In the passion, we find the great art of giving. Anyone could. Jesus gave us his very body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. And at the beginning of Lent, we said the three pillars of this season are fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. How well have I fared in terms of giving during this period? Remember, on the last day, we shall be judged based on how well we give or refused to give. Depart from me, you who are cursed by the enemy and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. I know sometimes we have our mindset on doing so much good for people that we get lost in that, and we lose ourselves and we lose sight of what's important because we're trying to please other people. If there's anything that I learn every Lenten season, is that each time that I hear or see pictures of my Jesus with the crown of thorns, with gashes in his side, bloody face, it's terrifying for me to think about that. He continues on to say that number four is the passion questions our prayer life. Jesus took the disciples to the garden to pray, but instead they started sleeping. How deep and serious is my prayer life? How come I am able to watch a movie or a football match for over 2 hours, but I consider it a punishment to pray for 1 hour? How did Jesus pray? Did he try to command God? No. No, he said, Abba, Father, remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou will. Mark 14:36. In my prayers, do I ask for God's will to be done, or do I ask for my own will to be done? Wow. That is so relevant for today. How many times do we talk ourselves out of doing what we think is the right thing to do? And not really having the, I guess, the hope to trust that things are going to be good and that Jesus has got us and that everything is going to work out. But it is hard sometimes, because we do, in our prayers, we ask God for what we want, not what he wants. And that's something the Passion today reminds us of. The Passion number 5, the Passion teaches us to avoid boasting. The disciples all promised to remain with Jesus when they were eventually faced with the Roman soldiers. They all took to their heels, including Peter, who boasted, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Am I like Peter, whose action betrayed his words when faced with danger? A Christian who is not ready to suffer for Christ's sake is not yet a true follower of Christ. Jesus said, whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. The Passion teaches us to please God rather than man. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. Pilate, like Aaron, who made a golden calf for the people, was more interested in appearing and appeasing the crowd and appearing mighty and grand and appeasing the crowds. He was more conscious of that than following his conscience. If I was Pilate, what would I have done differently? Many joined in shouting, crucify him, crucify him, just because others were doing so. Am I a crowd pleaser?
Number 7 is the passion teaches us humility. In our second reading today, we heard Paul writing to the Philippians saying, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equally with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of his own death. Even his death on a cross. The Passion celebrates the deep-seated humility of Jesus. He says, in conclusion, the Passion narrative teaches us a lot about ourselves. The bitter truth is humanity has not changed at all since the time of Jesus. We are still ruled by money. We still betray one another. We are still stingy. We do not pray well, and we often act to please the crowd. Let us learn from history and avoid making the mistakes of those who killed Jesus. I'd like to have a moment of silence. Thank you. I thought you guys would find some of that interesting, how it kind of correlates to today, what happens today in today's day and age. Just somebody's opinion, somebody's perspective, and I thought it would be a good one to read. And let me see if we have, we are 28 minutes in. Okay, I have a story for you guys, and then I want to go into the Easter in Portugal. What are the traditions and celebrations? Okay, you guys. So this story is called Angels with Nightsticks. Stephen Rogers was a rookie officer in the Nutley, New Jersey Police Department in 1977 when he was assigned to be partners with Phil. Not only was Phil older and wiser, but he was also an outspoken Christian. For the impulsive and sometimes rebellious Steve, Phil became a role model. Daily, before their shift, the two met up and would pray or read from the Bible, often reciting the 91st Psalm. You know, the one that commits us to God's care and summons angels when we're in danger. Nutley had a growing problem. Recreational areas were being overrun with teenagers drinking, taking drugs, and vandalizing properties. police knew where the kids congregated, but whenever he raided the gatherings, most slipped away and could not be found. Apparently, the teens had a hideout, but where? None of the police officers had ever been able to find it. One day, Steve and Phil were assigned to plainclothes duty. They were to dress like the kids, and it was hoped to discover their hideout and the source of their drugs. That night, they stationed themselves in a secluded, wooded area and watched the young people fighting, cursing, and destroying property. "What I saw sickened me," Steve related. "I realized we were not dealing with a few kids having fun, with many who were hardcore drug addicts with minds." Turn their page here. "With their minds out of control." Many were invoking Charles Manson, the infamous cult leader who orchestrated multiple murders in California, or performing obscene acts. If this behavior spread, it could threaten to destroy the whole city. The main source of the drugs, it appeared, was a young man the officers dubbed Mr. Big because of all of his apparent emotional hold on the group. So the next day, the officers went to the scene of the gatherings, praying for guidance, and began to check it in, inch by inch by inch. They soon came across a well-worn path covered with branches. The path led to a cleverly concealed cave. Inside, the officers found pills, liquor, pornographic material, and marijuana. Here was where so many young people eluded the police. That night, they decided they would raid the cave. Before their shift, they requested extra backup, but they were told they were to go on their own. How could two officers handle a bunch of aggressive kids all alone? Once again, the men prayed Psalm 91. Then they strolled towards the crowd already gathering near a railroad embankment. Mr. Big was there. They noted that. "We wanted to apprehend him first, well, because we felt many of the kids would discontinue their illegal activities if he, Mr. Big, wasn't around," Steve explained. But as they approached, a girl recognized them. "Cops!
She screamed, "Cops! Cops!" This crowd scattered. Steve and Phil went after the girl, caught her, and called for a backup squad. They knew some of the others would be hiding in the cave. They found the hidden path despite the fact that they were hopelessly outnumbered, and they walked boldly into the entrance. "Freeze!" Steve shouted, and not a person in that cave moved. Steve ran his eyes across the group. At least 12 of them. And they had caught Mr. Big. Phil walked over to Mr. Big and asked for the package he was holding. Meekly, the young man handed over a bag of pills. Steve gathered other evidence, read everyone their rights, and then stood in bewilderment, staring at the cave floor, covered with submissive teens who easily could have overpowered the two officers. Why hadn't they put up a fight? The van pulled up as they led the prisoners out of the cave. Steve turned to Mr. Big. "Why didn't you or any of the others try to attack us when we came in?" "You think I'm crazy or something?" Mr. Big asked. "There were at least 20 guys in blue uniforms, and it would have been stupid to think of fighting or running." 20? No, it was just the two of us here. That there wasn't 20. "Yeah?" Mr. Big called to the other young prisoner. "Belinda, how many cops came into the cave?"
"Open a business bank account with QuickBooks Money. Your business's money earns even more money. You'll earn a 5% APY on your cash, which is more than 70 times the national average. Money deposited could even be available the same day. Check out QuickBooks Money and earn 5% APY. Spring savings at Hobby Lobby, where Easter goodies are 40% off. Along with Easter baskets for every bunny in the family, you'll find gifts such as toys and games, home decor, and kitchen.
How many cops came into the cave? At least 25, Belinda shrugged. It was then that Steve remembered the words he and Phil recited so faithfully. "You will not fear the terror of the night, for he will command his angels concerning you." Within 9 months of the time Steve and Phil had been assigned to this special duty, they had made 250 arrests, more than the department's annual total. Former hangouts of drug addicts and vandals were deserted, and Nutley neighborhoods flourished. Whenever anyone complimented the officers on their accomplishments, they always gave credit to Jesus for protecting them and helping them solve those crimes. Jesus and a very special squad in blue. Wow, that was so cool. What a cool story. They saw 20 to 25 cops, and those officers said that they were on their own that night, that they didn't have anybody to help them with backup. That is just crazy. Crazy. Isn't that so cool, you guys? We're gonna switch gears now a little bit. We're gonna go into some Portuguese traditions for Easter. All right, guys, and this story is pretty cool. So this author, I will tell you her name at the end of this article, but she writes, "Have you ever wondered what it's like to celebrate Easter in Portugal? Portugal is a country with deep Catholic roots. So Páscoa is a big celebration here. In fact, it's probably the second biggest holiday after Christmas. Páscoa marks the remembrance of the death and rebirth of Jesus Cristo. A time for family. Easter in Portugal is spent together with family. It is especially significant for godparents and their godchildren. Padrinhos, madrinhas, afilhados. On this date, godparents get their godchildren a gift such as a roupa, um ovo de chocolate, um fular, typical for Easter. Food galore. If you haven't noticed yet, Portuguese people, we love food. Obviamente, obviously. Traditional foods of Easter in Portugal. Well, Easter Sunday lunch is usually celebrated with a traditional meat dish, usually a roast or roasted baby goat, served with roasted potatoes and rice. There is often also leitão at the table. For a sobremesa or dessert, the two main choices are pão de ló and flor. Pão de ló is a very simple sponge cake consisting of lots of ovos, flours, and açúcar, or sugar. Simple, but very tasty. The flor is a traditional Easter cake. Each region of Portugal has its own flor recipe, but the most common one involves flour, sugar, eggs, water, and some canela, cinnamon. In the middle of the cake, there is often one or more hard-boiled eggs, which represent the resurrection of Jesus. The flour tastes like a subtly sweet bread. So worth a try. Fasting. Portuguese people on Good Friday, however, most Portuguese people fast from meat. This is out of respect, as Catholics believe Jesus sacrificed his life for us on Good Friday, and we refrain from eating meat in his honor. Instead, the Portuguese eat salted bacalhau, codfish, and batatas cozidas, boiled potatoes. Treats for the children. Treats for the children. We all love a good Easter egg hunt for our babies. Easter is a fun time for crianças, or kids, especially when it comes to chocolate. In Portugal, shop windows are filled with colorful amêndoas, almonds, that are covered in sugar and chocolate, as well as chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies wrapped in beautifully colored paper, usually with the surprise inside of the little ones. In Portugal, mainly in the rural villages, the religious rituals and processions are common. Many Portuguese people start Easter Sunday by going to Mass in the morning. However, the Easter festivities actually starts a week before Easter, on Domingo de Ramos. For that entire week, there are many processions across the country. Óbidos, not far from Lisboa, attracts thousands of visitors each year. It holds a fantastic torch-lit procession illustrating Jesus' death. There are also concerts, activities for children. Castelo de Vide, a little village in the center of Portugal, is also a popular location for devoted Catholics and tourists wanting to get the Easter experience. Here, Catholic traditions are mixed with Jewish ones. On Easter Sunday, there is the blessing of the lambs, in which shepherds bring their flock to the center of the town before they go and sell them. When she wrote this, it said, "This year, sadly, due to COVID-19, it's impossible to get the full experience of Easter in Portugal. But hopefully, once things improve, which they have, thank you, Lord, you can take a trip to Portugal and experience some of the lovely tradições. Traditions for yourself." So good, such great information. The amêndoas, I remember the amêndoas. I haven't had those in so long, but oh, I love the amêndoas. I love the the chocolate bunnies. I was more of a hollow chocolate bunny girl. I know there's some of you, like my husband, who, and I believe my best friend, they like, and probably my cousin Carlos in Canada, they probably like the full bunny, not hollow. Me, I'm not really a chocolate person, so I don't mind the hollow part, but it's still equally delicious. We're going to have a quaint little Easter here at the house with my parents and with enjoying them while we have them with us and making it special for them. That's what I look forward to doing for my parents. And let's see what's on the menu. We have a honey baked ham. We have some creamy sweet butter mashed potatoes. We have some delicious corn on the cob, sweet corn. And we have probably a salad, and and it sounds incredible. It's going to be incredible. I can't wait. I hope you guys had a beautiful, blessed Holy Week. If you celebrated Good Friday today, God bless you. Even if you didn't celebrate Good Friday today, or you didn't celebrate, but we're not supposed to celebrate today, we're supposed to celebrate on Sunday. So you have 2 days to rally up your strong emotions so that we declare a beautiful Easter for each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity with Palma Media. Thank you for all the people who are listening, those that are listening and those that will listen in the future. I'd like to ask for their petitions, their prayers, for you to watch out for each and every one of them and their families, for you guys to know how much I love each and every one of you and how I'm here. If you have any questions about your faith, my faith, prayer, if I don't know the answer, I'll definitely look for the answer for you. I hope you guys enjoy your time with your families. Chelsea, if you're listening to this, my sweet girl, Nora and Luca, have a beautiful, blessed Easter, my beautiful babies. That you guys feel God's presence and spirit around you, His goodness, His grace, and His blessings. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Palma. Thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for letting me freely pray here on my podcast. Thank you for allowing me to talk about God. And I will never, ever stop talking about God because He truly saved my life. And it's the least I can do to give back where I can, when I can, and if I can. All right, you guys, you are listening to Faith Ignited on Palma Talk Radio. Stay tuned for the next podcast every hour on the hour. You can catch my replays from Saturday till Wednesday, 2 a.m., 10 a.m., 6 p.m. on Palma Talk. Please go download our app. Please join us on Instagram, on YouTube. Please follow us. Give us some love. Show us some love over there. And sending you huge Beijing abraços. Mwah. Vocês, adeus. Have a blessed and beautiful Easter. I love you all so much. God bless and good night.